The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Not guilty. That was the verdict in the Senate today. The score was 52-48 on Article 1, abuse of power, and 53-47 on Article 2, obstruction of Congress. I don't know what the point spread was, but I think it covered. And Mitt Romney also came out of it proven guilty of being a swamp creature. He voted guilty on abuse of power, which also confirmed what a lot of Republicans thought way back in 2012, that Romney wasn't really a conservative. And he's, by the way, the first senator ever to vote for impeachment of a president in his same party. So now that the results are in, we can be 100% sure that it was all, of course, a waste of time, because it turned out exactly the way everybody, including the Democrats, by the way, knew it would, which means instead of taking months, they could have decided it in about, I don't know, 20 minutes. So think about everything that we've been through the last 3 months. It could have been done in 20 minutes and come up with exactly the same result. 20 minutes, maybe less. So now the Democrats have to start over. Collusion with Russia didn't work. Remember the Mueller report? How sick were you of hearing that that was going to mean the end of his presidency? The phone call to Ukraine didn't work. And now the Democrats are left with saying, and by the way, Stormy Daniels didn't work either. That was way back there. And now the Democrats are left with saying that he's not exonerated because there were no witnesses. That's what Chuck Schumer said today. He said it was a kangaroo court in the Senate. So maybe we'll finish the week without hearing any more bombshell stories about how the Trump presidency is doomed, but I wouldn't think we're going to go too long before another one pops up. It might be the Democrats who are doomed, by the way. You know, they have lunatics running for their nomination. And last night, Donald Trump went after the black vote with talk about school choice and prison reform. And Van Jones, who's a Marxist, by the way, and who hates Trump, he had a warning for Democrats last night on CNN.
The thing about it is, and I think that we got to wake up, folks. There's the whole bubble thing that goes on. We say, well, he said S-hole nations, therefore all black people are going to hate him forever. That ain't necessarily so. And I think what you're going to see him do is say, you may not like my rhetoric, but look at my results, look at my record to black people. And if he narrow casts that, it's going to be effective, which means as we move through this primary process, we've got to pay a lot more attention both to what's going on with the Latino vote. Are we going to get a benefit in terms of, you know, having them respond? And with the black vote, is there going to be a split off, especially for black male voters? We got to be clinical about this stuff. We get so emotional about it. That was a warning to us, a warning shot across the bow of Democrats that he's going after enough black folks to cause us problems. It's not just the white suburban voters. He's going after black votes.
Yep, and it's a landslide if he increases from, what, 10% or 9%, or whatever it was, to 15%. The party's over for the Democrats. I'm talking about black voters. Of course, Nancy Pelosi got all the attention after the speech last night when she ripped up her copy of the script. And the Republicans had already made an ad about that by noon today. This is the person who says she doesn't hate Trump and prays for him. Remember that? Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Sean Parnell. He's running for Congress in the 17th District against Connor Lamb. We'll talk to him about the speech and Nancy deciding to, you know, tear it up. Stick around.
I'm in the mood to tear it up. Tearing it up. I dig tearing up that stuff. I just can't tear it up enough.
They blow into town with the wind, rain, and hail. And out-of-town storm chasers going door-to-door, often posing as a local company offering a quick fix to desperate homeowners. If you've had damage to your roof, windows, siding, or gutters and downspouts, you may be eligible to get them replaced or repaired free of charge. Just be careful who you call. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. With over 50 years in home remodeling, Windows R Us is the area's premier exterior replacement company for roofs, roofs, siding, gutters and downspouts, doors, and of course windows. If damage isn't your issue and you just want something new, you'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. A company who will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. Mention STAG for an additional 10% off. Windows R Us, proud sponsor of the Jerk of the Week, heard every Friday on the John Steigerwald Show. WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. If you're an employer, a business owner, if you have 5 to 100 employees, listen up. The cost of doing business continues to skyrocket, strangling your HR department with more regulations, administrative duties, and liability than ever. I'm John Steigerwald. Your health plan's a big part of that cost. Another year, another 10% rate hike, another $1,000 increase on your deductible, another hospital or doctor you can't go to because they're not in the network. Isn't it time for a change? Well, stop the insanity and call Marley Financial, the most innovative agency in the industry. Put an end to the annual increase. Give your employees a national network that all hospitals accept and reduce your monthly premiums by 20 to 30%. It doesn't matter when your renewal is. Marley can help today. Call 724-884-1496. Marley Financial, 724-884-1496. 724-884-1496.
Good morning, America.
Or is it? If you're one of the millions of Americans who did not sleep well last night, it's probably a pretty average morning.
But listen up, you sleep-deprived people. There's good news. A breakthrough sleep solution called Pronto Sleep.
And when we say pronto, we mean pronto. Pronto Sleep gently opens your nose to focus breathing and help you relax and fall asleep. And the built-in scent diffuser delivers a blend of 4 pure essential oils to help you stay asleep naturally.
And then Pronto replenishes the oils ready for the next night. Too easy, eh?
And in trials, 84% of people with trouble sleeping found Pronto helped them fall asleep, and 74% found it helped them stay asleep. So make every morning a
good morning, America.
With Pronto Sleep, available now at select Walgreens, Amazon, or at prontosleep.com.
Pronto Sleep from RhinoMed, bringing you advanced nasal therapies.
Like the rest of us, you're probably tired of all those annoying sales calls to your home telephone number. Now, there's a solution. OurOldNumber.com will block those pesky robocalls from getting through, and most live sales calls will hang up. So how does it work? Callers to your home telephone number will hear a personalized greeting from you. The caller selects the family member they wish to reach, and the call is immediately forwarded onto the family member's cell phone. There's no equipment to buy, there's nothing to install, no long-term contracts. It's still your phone number and remains in directory assistance. The service is only $9.99 per month, and you can eliminate your landline connection and save money. Now, calls to your home phone number can reach any member of the family wherever they are and get rid of those annoying sales calls. OurOldNumber.com. It's just $9.99 per month. Go to OurOldNumber.com to learn how you can get started blocking sales calls today. That's OurOldNumber.com. OurOldNumber.com. You'll be glad you did.
This is the John Steigerwald Show on AM 1250. The Answer.
Well, Donald Trump will not be taken out of the White House in handcuffs after dinner tonight, even though that's what the Democrats were hoping for 3 months ago. Anyway, he was impeached but not convicted, and last night he probably made the Democrats want to impeach him even more with his State of the Union address. And after the impeachment, Nancy Pelosi tearing up her copy of the State of the Union speech, well, that was nice, and the Democrats don't have much left between now and next November. It's going to be about Donald Trump's record. Sean Parnell is running for Congress in the 17th District against Connor Lamb, and he joins us now. Sean, thanks for being here.
Hey, as always, thank you for having me.
So how's it going out there?
It's good. It is going just so great. I mean, we've been driving all over the district today. We're in, like, petition mode, you know, signatures to get on the ballot. And I like to drive out and surprise people at different events just to show up and thank them for all the work that they do. But I'm telling you, the enthusiasm for this president in Western Pennsylvania is unbelievable. It is just, I'm sensing 2016 level enthusiasm for this president, but more. Yeah. I mean, but more. And I mean that everybody that I talk to, I'm talking about Democrats too here in Western Pennsylvania who are ready to get back to work on behalf of the American people. They're ready for Congress to get back to work. And so, It's unbelievable, man, and it's unbelievable to be a part of it.
So it's interesting because in 2016, I mean, he was Donald Trump running for president. Nobody really,
right.
I mean, anybody who voted for him had to have at least a little bit of pause before they pulled the lever, you know what I mean?
Like, right.
Man, am I really voting for Donald Trump for president? But that's not
look,
there anymore.
You're right.
For those
you're,
people.
Look, oh my gosh. It's a great point. Well, I'm going to tell you about my good friend. He runs the All Latin Mass Choir here in Pittsburgh. He wasn't sure about the president in 2016. Wasn't sure if he was sufficiently pro-life. And he wrote in Marco Rubio because he just wasn't sure he trusted the president,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But now he is 100% on board, and I am seeing that story replicated all over this district. People that were unsure at first, but now after they've seen how the media and some of the far left has treated this president in Congress, they're firmly in his corner, 100%.
So what was your reaction to the speech last night?
It was the best State of the Union speech I've seen in my entire life.
Wow.
And it's not just because I'm a Trump supporter. And don't get me wrong, Barack Obama is a great speaker. George W. Bush is a good speaker, too. But what I thought was truly remarkable about President Trump's speech is it wasn't just words. There was action there as well. You know, so celebrate reuniting a military family, unbelievable to see that on the State of the Union. Celebrating a Tuskegee Airman, unbelievable to see that. And what blew my mind was that, you know, you have the president saying, I'm going to protect your right to keep and bear arms. Raucous applause from Republicans. The Democrats sit.
Yeah.
I'm going to protect, the president says, I'm going to protect Medicare and Social Security. Raucous applause from Republicans, and the Democrats sit. I mean, he went through one statistical economic measure after the next about how everyone in this country, from every race, creed, and religion, has been elevated because of the economic boom we are experiencing because of this president. Democrats sit. And I'm telling you, that tells you everything you need to know about their agenda in Congress, and it has been to resist from day one, and it is the beginning of the end of that resistance right now, today, because the president was acquitted for life.
Now, I don't know if you heard before I introduced you, before we took the break, I played this is my theme song for the day, and I really like this tune, so it's a good excuse, just in case you didn't hear it, a quick little few seconds of our theme song for today.
Okay.
I'm in the mood to tear it out. I'm in my pride to tear it out.
Tearing it up, baby. So that's the fabulous Thunderbirds, by the way. How do you think Nancy Pelosi tearing up her copy of that speech will play out there in the 17th district? They, by the way, as we know, they voted overwhelmingly for Trump 2016.
Yeah, they did. No, you're absolutely right. Look, it's not going to play well. It was conduct unbecoming, and truthfully, it was just revolting. You're talking about the president. Pelosi ripped up a speech in which the president memorialized people who died for this country, not just soldiers, but Taylor Mueller, who went over there with the Peace Corps and died at the hands of a terrorist. The president celebrated her life. And Nancy Pelosi, at the end of that speech, rips it up. It was just a disgusting display of, partisanship and immaturity. And, you know, I'm telling you, the American people, Democrats, independents, and Republicans deserve better than that.
Yeah, and what does what does tearing up that speech say to people like the people you mentioned, and also a 100-year-old? And I'm thinking this might have been one of your favorite parts of the speech, the 100-year-old Tuskegee Air Corps veteran who was honored.
Yeah, he was promoted to general that same day by the president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's another thing. Pelosi didn't even engage. They're the president, and every member of the Republican caucus in the House is looking up at this guy, you know, with stars in their eyes, and Pelosi is what, shuffling through papers, not paying attention. It was just terrible. I mean, it was just terrible. And I don't think that that's going to play well in PA 17, or maybe just not even here, all across the country, because I think what Americans want is for Congress to work together on behalf of the American people. And this Congress has resisted the president under Nancy Pelosi's watch. The Democrats in Congress have resisted this president since the moment he took his hand off the Bible.
Yep.
You know, that was their sole purpose in life. And today, their plan to impeach this president, yes, he was impeached in the House, but he was acquitted in the Senate for life. And I'm telling you, people are more energized because of Democrat obstruction and Democrat impeachment than I have ever seen before in Western PA. And I've spent my entire life here outside the short time of my time in the military. But people here are so excited. I mean, I did this event out in Gibsonia today. I'm telling you that this big Trump bus out there and everything. And when the president was impeached, I'm telling you, people were beeping their horns as they were driving by. People were slapping high fives. There are people coming up and signing petitions. People are excited to vote for this president. You know, they're excited to vote for this president, you know, and yeah. And they should be. They should be. He's done a great job.
Yep. And your opponent, we're talking to Sean Parnell. He's running against Connor Lamb in the 17th District. And we asked Connor Lamb for a statement on the speech, and as usual, got no response. But he sold himself as a moderate, but he's done what he was told by Pelosi, hasn't he?
Well, look, he votes with her 98% of the time. He's only disagreed with her once on 47 votes. He's only disagreed with her once. And get this, he votes with Ilhan Omar, AOC, Rashida Tlaib 90-plus percent of the time.
Wow.
His first ad, he's with an AR-15. Oh, I'm pro-gun. Guess what? He has an F rating from the NRA. He said he was pro-life, and guess what? He has an A-plus rating from Planned Parenthood. You know, so I'm just saying, what I tell people all the time is, like, look, he lied. He misrepresented himself to moderate Republicans to get elected. And I'm talking to moderate Democrats right now that might be listening to you. How long before he lies to you, too? It's only a matter of time. This is Connor Lamb is the kind of guy that says one thing in district and does another thing in Washington. And he looks at Congress as a stepping stone to something greater. Before I got in the race, he was campaigning all over Western PA, all over Pennsylvania, looking forward to 2022, to the next office, to run against Pat Toomey in 2022. Everybody knows it. He's not taking care of the people in his backyard. And because of that, I'm in this race to make sure that the people of Western Pennsylvania always have a voice. And they will always come before partisan politics and even the Republican Party for me. I'm a Western Pennsylvania first, last, and always, and my loyalty will always be to the people.
I want to make sure I mention it again that we tried to contact Connor Lamb and ask him to come on the show or give us a statement on the speech and Nancy Pelosi's tearing up of the speech, and got no response. The election's about nine months away. At what point does Connor Lamb have to come out of hiding and let the voters know where he agrees with the radical ideas of his party? You mentioned he votes with Ilhan Omar and the squad, 95% of the time. At some point, he has to defend that, doesn't he?
He did a town hall, and people were rightfully questioning him about his voting record with Pelosi, and he immediately spun it as 80% of those votes are bipartisan. Well, I got news for you. That also is a misrepresentation of the facts. If those votes were bipartisan votes, they would pass through the Senate and they would be signed into law by the president. Just for context for your listeners, you know, you have the Republicans here in Western Pennsylvania, Guy Reschenthaler and Mike Kelly, who are great patriotic Americans. They vote with Nancy Pelosi 25% or less. So Connor Lamb, 98%. So again, he said he would oppose Nancy Pelosi when he ran. He absolutely, positively did not do that. And so I think the voters are starting to see it, and they're starting to question him, and rightfully question him at his town halls. And so he's going to have to explain his voting record, and his voting record isn't going to play well here in Western Pennsylvania because, truthfully, John, he's voted against the interests of people in this region, 100%.
Well, Mike Doyle, who represents the 18th District and is probably going to be running unopposed again, he did give us a statement, and I'm guessing it wasn't sent to us. I think this is just his statement on the speech last night. The president hijacked a solemn ritual of our democracy. It's not a democracy, by the way, and it turned into a partisan campaign rally. He took a golden opportunity to bring Americans together and unite us, and used it instead to divide us and increase the polarization that's tearing this nation apart. The president used this event almost exclusively to toss red meat to his base and fire them up for his reelection campaign. Then on top of that, he proceeded to fill his speech with false or misleading statements about the state of our nation and the accomplishments of his administration. He goes on to say, I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot of this from Democrats. This is going to be a tough sell for them. He goes on to say that the president incorrectly claimed credit for the health of the economy. He says the fact of the matter is doing well despite Donald Trump, but not because of him, and the country is still benefiting from the recovery that started in 2009 under Barack Obama. Would you like to be out trying to sell that right now?
It's absolutely out of touch with reality. I mean, President Barack Obama said that we needed to get used to anemic 2% economic GDP growth every year. Okay, President Trump has doubled that in his first 3 years in office. President Trump has done, you know, what he has deregulated and made it easier for small businesses to do business every single day since he's been in this office. All around this district, I'm talking to small businesses who say, "Oh my gosh, in just 3 years, we're starting to breathe the free air. We're starting to make a profit." For 8 years under Barack Obama, we were saddled with regulations that made it hard for us to do business. They see that the economic growth in this country, and specifically this region, John, is directly correlated to the policies of President Donald Trump. And again, I tell people, hey, you might not like his personality, you might not like all the things that he says, but you can't deny the reality of the fact that his economy is the best in this country in the last 50 years. I mean, we have our lowest unemployment right now in the history of this country. More African Americans are working now than at any other point in our history. You want to talk about things that bring people together? Look at deeds, not words. And what you got from Doyle right there was a bunch of gibberish words that is just not reality at all. You know, Donald Trump's actions, right, speak louder than his words, and he's done more to unite this country in the last 3 years than Barack Obama did in 8.
Talking to Sean Parnell, running for Congress in the 17th district. And the last I heard, Sean, Pete Buttigieg is still leading in Iowa. Who knows what's going on out there?
Who knows?
Yeah, I've seen him referred to as a moderate by other Democrats and people in the media. Just a couple of things that he has. He's a moderate now. He wants to get rid of the Electoral College. He wants to add 6 more justices to the Supreme Court. And so if that's moderate, what would radical be? Because most of the people that are running, I think, agree with him, or he agrees with them.
Look, there's no such thing as moderate Democrats anymore. There's just not. I mean, that are running for president, that are running for any sort of national office. And here's why. The radical far left, like the AOCs, the Ilhan Omars, the Rashida Tlaibs, they have totally co-opted the legislative agenda of the Democratic Party. And if you just look at moderates all across the country, so-called moderates all across the country, they toe the line with the squad 90%+ of the time. And that tells you everything you need to know about so-called national moderate Democrats. In fact, like I told you before, I don't even like calling them Democrats. They're like the new Democrats or mm-hmm. the ultra left. Their party is not in keeping with the party of my grandfather, who, you know, my grandfather's pro-life, pro-gun, and he was a Democrat just because he believed that they protected the little guy.
Right.
But guess what? The Democrat Party is not the party of the American middle class anymore. They're not the party of the American working man or woman anymore. And Republicans are. And we have the right message, economic message, for those groups of people, and we're going to win in November.
We've got about a minute and a half left, Sean. One of the better moments, I thought, last night was when Donald Trump introduced the fourth-grade girl who'd been waiting on a list with 50,000 kids who wanted to get out of a bad public school. Governor Wolf vetoed a bill to give kids more choice. Is that a big issue in District 17, you think? I'm up against a hard break, so I got about a minute.
Yeah. Look, it's a big issue for everybody. You know, I don't like when the government gets involved and tells us what to do with anything. I'm certainly not against public schools. They're very important. But, you know, if the American people and parents all across this district and country should have the right to choose where they want to send their child to school. And in that moment at the State of the Union with that little girl was a beautiful one. And by the way, Democrats sat for it.
Yep. Hey, Sean, I'm out of time. Good luck with your quest here. And one of these days, I might even be able to get Connor Lamb to come on and talk to us.
Well, keep praying a prayer.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
We'll talk to you again.
All right, bye.
Yep, and when we come back, we're going to talk about school choice with someone who says the Republicans have to stop with the bipartisanship on that issue. We'll talk about what Governor Wolf did in vetoing that bill. We'll do that when we come back. Stick around.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Senate now voting on the articles of impeachment against President Trump. Article 1, abuse of power, has been voted on and the president is acquitted. 52 voting not guilty, 48 guilty. The next vote on Article 2, Obstruction of Congress, is now underway. While results from the Iowa caucus trickle in, Pete Buttigieg continues to lead over Bernie Sanders. Healthcare and financial companies led a broad rally on Wall Street today, giving the market its third straight gain. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ closing at all-time highs. The latest gains came as another batch of solid corporate earnings reports and more encouraging economic data overshadowed concerns about the Chinese virus. The Dow gained 483 points today. The NASDAQ up 40 and the S&P picked up 37. This is SRN News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hugh Hewitt warns of the coronavirus.
If you're the government, all you can do is overreact. All you ought to do is overcorrect. I just think that the United States has to be incredibly proactive. And if I had been on a plane with them, I would like to know that. But the CDC is not revealing that information, and I do not understand why.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings at 6, right before Mike Gallagher at 9 on AM 1250, The Answer.
I'm Kelsey Wiggins, a public school teacher in Iowa whose students have benefited from an America's Farmers Grow Rural Education Grant. By April 1st, I encourage farmers to nominate a local public school district to receive a $15,000 STEM grant by visiting americasfarmers.com.
The Allegheny Institute for Public Policy has been Greater Pittsburgh's trusted source for sound public policy analysis since 1995. About to celebrate its 25th anniversary, the think tank's research, education, and advocacy have steadfastly worked to defend taxpayers and businesses against the inefficiency and intrusiveness of ever-expanding burdensome government. You can join the cause today by making a tax-deductible donation by visiting AlleghenyInstitute.org.
This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy and Hagerman. Upon your passing, you wouldn't want a judge to decide who raises your children or how your estate gets divided. It is important to review your estate planning documents to ensure they protect what matters most. At Abernathy and Hagerman, we will work with you to establish an estate plan that nominates a guardian for your minor children and that your assets are used for your family's benefit. Judge for yourself. For legal help that lasts a lifetime, visit a-h.law.
Healthy pets, healthy people, focusing on a natural, holistic approach for human and animal wellness. Host Dr. Edmund Sulkowski and his guests discuss various topics on health and wellness for us and our companion animals. Airs each Saturday, live from 9 to 10 in the morning on 1250 AM, The Answer, giving you the opportunity to call in with your questions. A healthy pet is a happy pet, and being healthy makes people happy. Tune in, listen, learn, be well.
AM 1250 and FM 92.5. The Answer.
WPGP Pittsburgh.
A division of Salem Media Group. Listen on the Answer mobile app, smart speakers, tune in, iHeart, or radio.com.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We've got jam ups on the Parkway West. Inbound Carnegie to the Fort Pitt Tunnel. Outbound, not too bad. Now let's check out the Parkway East. That's all stacked up outbound. Forbes Avenue to Edgewood Swissvale. Inbound Edgewood Swissvale to the Tunnel. County Jail to the Fort Pitt Bridge. Outbound Veterans Bridge also seeing delays. Still got a disabled vehicle blocking the left lane on outbound 28 at Ohio Street. You're tied up from the Parkway North. That's a look at traffic. I'm Jenny Robinson.
AM 1250, The Answer. Weather.
Rain tonight, low 35. Rain and drizzle tomorrow, high 46. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night. A little rain becoming mixed with and changing to some snow or flurries as it becomes colder. Little or no accumulation, but watch for slick spots, low 30. Cloudy, breezy, and colder on Friday with snow showers. High Friday, 31. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Brian May.
You're listening to the John Steigerwald Show on AM 1250, The Answer.
This was one of my favorite parts of the speech last night, and the Democrats had to hate it. It's President Trump. He introduced Janiyah Davis, a fourth grader from Philadelphia who was in the gallery with her mother.
Janiyah's mom, Stephanie, is a single parent. She would do anything to give her daughter a better future. But last year, that future was put further out of reach when Pennsylvania's governor vetoed legislation to expand school choice to 50,000 children. Janiyah and Stephanie are in the gallery. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here with your beautiful daughter. Thank you very much. But Janiyah, I have some good news for you, because I am pleased to inform you that your long wait is over. I can proudly announce tonight that an opportunity scholarship has become available. It's going to you, and you will soon be heading to the school of your choice.
Of course, the Democrats hated that because they hate the idea of giving parents a choice of where they want to send their kids to school. Max Eden is a senior fellow in education at the Manhattan Institute. He joins us now. Max, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So you've written a lot about school choice. What do you think that moment during the speech last night did for the cause?
I think it redefined the cause in a partisan way and for the better. And what I mean by that is that school choice has historically been kind of an issue where Republicans go to show that they care about urban communities, to show that they care about black and brown parents and students. And they try to do this. They've always tried to do this in a bipartisan way. You know, get some more Democrats on board. Maybe you can snipe off one or two. And that's how you make overtures. Trump kind of inverted that, right? He's not using school choice as an opportunity so much to show that he cares as a wedge to show that the Democrats don't. I think that Janiyah and her mother were the only two other guests outside of Rush Limbaugh who the Democrats refused to stand and applaud. And I think that that puts it into stark relief for voters. I don't think it's a mistake that she was from Philadelphia and Trump has to win Pennsylvania to get reelected. I think he's really kind of planted a very firm flag that for urban communities, that if you want options for your kids, not only am I your friend, but they're your enemy. They're going to oppose you. He put that into very stark relief for people.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware that none of the Democrats stood for that. I wasn't. I should have.
No, I was watching very, very closely for that.
Yeah,
and,
you would be.
None of them.
Yeah. So here are some comments from Democrats running for president. We should fight back against the privatization, corporatization, and profiteering in our schools, in our nation's schools. I did that when I opposed a ballot question in Massachusetts to raise the cap on the number of charter schools. And as president, I will go further. That's Elizabeth Warren. Few charter schools have lived up to their promise. Moreover, the proliferation of charter schools has disproportionately affected communities of color. That's Bernie Sanders. And then this one from a guy who didn't do too well in Iowa. The point is, if I'm president, Betsy DeVos's whole notion from charter schools to this are gone. That's Joe Biden. So, as you said, school choice has always been a Republican idea, but there were some Democrats who were at least willing to listen to ideas about it. What's happened to turn them all so strongly against the idea? Because there were some people who at least didn't, like, recoil in horror when you brought up the idea.
No, I mean, in fact, charter schools not very long ago were a subject of relatively bipartisan agreement, one of the very few. They were promoted actively and maybe in some ways too actively by President Obama and his Department of Education. It's hard to put your finger exactly on it, right? Because on the one hand, the Democrats have always had their main interest group, the teachers' unions, who are opposed to charters, opposed to choice, because they want to protect their turf. They want to kind of protect their hegemony. But what's been interesting is, like, as you've seen the rise of this kind of woke discourse, this ideology that kind of all politics should be about the uplifting of the marginalized and the taking down of the oppressors, somehow charter schools had been kind of foisted into the category of an oppressor unit by the ideologues on the left. And so you have this weird situation where black parents overwhelmingly like charter schools, Hispanic parents overwhelmingly like charter schools. The approval ratings for those communities are about 55% apiece. But white Democrats overwhelmingly oppose charter schools. And that's what's changed. It's something that's changed amongst white voters who have very little proximate cause to have changed their opinion on charters when it comes to what's happening, you know, with their children in their schools. I think it's just a strange way in which, you know, the nobler aspirations of this kind of woke movement have ground the communities that they want to serve underfoot. And it's just a strange ideological twist of the wheel.
And white Democrats, the excuse that they use for being opposed is that they think they will tell you that all people who are opposed to it, but especially, I guess, white Democrats who as you say, have less to gain from it, they will say that they're against it because they're afraid of the effect on public schools, that the money taken for private schools will do damage to the public schools. And then they, in the next breath, they'll say we need to throw more money at public schools.
Yeah, and it's not an implausible argument, right? I mean, when a student leaves a public school for a charter school, a lot of the money follows the student. The public school, you know, has one less student, but also less money, and it can cause strain on traditional school district budgets. We've seen this in Philadelphia in a big way. But surprisingly, despite the fact that it does come at a cost to traditional schools financially, it doesn't come at a cost academically. Study after study after study and state after state has shown that as charters open up and expand, nearby traditional public schools actually do better. And to me, the only way to explain this is what also should be obvious, that despite the friction this provides for public schools, it also gives them an incentive to do better. Because if they're going to keep the kids, they have to serve them well.
Competition.
And so when you see time after time, academics improving, school climate improving, when charters open up, competition helps. All of a sudden, these schools have to work to keep the students. And lo and behold, they can do a bit better.
Well, how much of this, it seems to me that this has been such a, it's an issue that blacks and Hispanics see a support. And that's a group that those are groups that the Republicans are constantly trying to make a dent with, yet they don't haven't been able to benefit from the fact that this people in this group tend to agree with them. Is it bad marketing by the Republicans? Not enough attention paid to it? Why haven't they been able to benefit from the fact that these people in groups that don't vote for them actually agree with them?
I think you're exactly right. I think it's bad marketing, and I think that's what makes the moment that you highlighted earlier, Trump's State of the Union, you know, possibly more than just another throwaway line in the laundry list, right? Mm-hmm. This is, to my recollection, the first time a Republican has come and said, basically telegraphed, they oppose you. They oppose your options. They want to keep your kids in failing government schools, and use the word government schools, which is something that many Republicans are loath to do. Traditionally, it's always been, we're trying to help you on this one issue. And I think that hasn't persuaded voters because they rightly or wrongly see a whole host of other issues where they see the Republicans as the ones trying to harm them. Trump is trying to draw a very clear contrast and say, no, on this issue, the party that you vote for is trying to harm you, and I will help.
One thing,
and I think we'll see if that can start to move the needle. I think it's we tried the nice way for long enough.
Yeah. One of the things that Trump seems to be pretty good at is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And that may help this issue because he's not afraid. He's not afraid of the media criticism. He's not afraid to jump into an issue. I don't know if it's because he's just not a politician or what, but I think his ability to market things comes from his lack of interest in criticism from the other side. He just, hey, these people are going to hate me anyway. I'm just going for what I want to get.
Yeah, and I think choice is a good example of that. You know, I mean, and traditionally, Republicans will say extremely nice things about public schools because heaven forbid anybody accuse you of saying that they're failing. Trump just went for it. He said failing government schools. He used the, you know, the buzzwords that the left will say that he says anyway.
Right. He's got nothing to lose on that issue. Nothing.
He figures might as well just say it.
Yeah.
And if saying it this way rings extra clear to parents who don't feel like their school is a public school, who feel like the government is providing them a bad service, and if that strikes a chord, he's going to get hit the same way regardless. Maybe he can get an extra benefit here. So, you know, a breath of fresh air to my mind.
We're talking to Max Eden. He's a senior fellow in education at the Manhattan Institute. Max, what is a no-excuses charter school?
A no-excuses charter school, they tend to have kind of a very strict code of conduct, right? It's a lot of drill and kill, as it's you know, said somewhat derogatorily by opponents. And everybody is expected to behave and perform at a very high level. What a concept. No, and a lot of parents are very, very hungry for this because they don't have this at the traditional school. There's too much chaos. There's too much kind of, you know, kids getting away with bad behaviors, teachers who look at the kids and don't tell them, oh, I think you're college material. So No Excuses Charter Schools were launched as an effort to kind of have a place where these bourgeois values could be, you know, could have a home in communities that might not, where parents might not be able to find them for their kids otherwise. And what's also been interesting is that this has been, you know, one of the key places in the charter school movement where we've seen a huge ideological turn on the left. It used to be kind of like progressive reformers and conservative reformers could come together and say, oh, well, these work for low-income students of color. Let's expand them because we know they work. We see the test scores. We see the longer term results. But you've seen a very sharp turn against this idea that it's somehow like a colonizing exercise or, you know, the imposing of alien values onto communities. And it's been very like the woke wheel has turned very hard against schools that try to instill forthrightly kind of middle class values in students.
You know what those schools were called when I was growing up?
Schools.
Catholic schools. Well, yeah. But,
Catholic schools.
Yeah, but the public schools to a lesser degree. But
yeah.
That worked pretty well in Catholic schools. I went there way back in the middle of the 20th century. But what you just described there is what anybody who went to a Catholic school, when Catholic schools were at their peak, that's exactly what happened. There was no... everybody had to toe the line. There was discipline. And if you didn't do well in school, you went to summer school or you got kicked out. I mean, that's the way it went. It worked.
Yeah. No, it worked and it still does work. And one of the unfortunate consequences of the charter school success is that it's eaten into a lot of the Catholic school kind of market share, right? Because there are a lot of urban parents who just want their kid to go somewhere safe where they know that they'll learn. And if they can do it without having to pay a Catholic school to do it, they'll do it at the charter school. One of the reasons, I think, for some hope about the Trump school choice plan, the Education Freedom Scholarships, is that it lets states create tuition tax credit programs and tops them off the federal dollars where that money can be taken to private schools. It can be taken to Catholic schools where, you know, if there were an extra $25 million of federal money available, then when Governor Wolf vetoes one expansion but signs on to a smaller one, maybe she gets a spot anyway. Maybe mm-hmm. these Catholic schools stop getting kind of eaten alive by charters and can actually get a huge infusion of cash and a whole bunch of parents who want not only the safety and the learning, but also the values, also the religious instruction, which is something that unfortunately can't find a home in charter schools because of the way the law is.
I got about a minute left. What about the idea of vouchers? Why is that having so much trouble catching on?
I think the other side has been much more effective on it being the rhetoric around privatization and corporatization seems to be much more effective on that side, and it's never polled that well. But what I think is caused her some hope is even as vouchers don't quite poll well, this idea of education savings accounts polls very, very well. The difference there is a voucher you can only take to an established private school. The education savings account you can take to a much wider range of providers. You can buy textbooks, you can buy tutors, And that, at the very least, is polling much better. We're starting to see it gain some ground in the states. So I'm hoping, even if the vouchers haven't caught on very well, that we might see these tuition tax credits grow, we might see education savings accounts grow.
Hey, Max, I'm out of time. I hope this issue gets a lot more attention between now and November, and I'd like to have you on again to talk about it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I would love that. And thanks so much for having me.
And I'm gonna go out with my song again about Nancy, but thanks. I'll see you next time.
Later.
All right.
I'm in the mood to tear it out.
We have a major problem here in Pennsylvania, very much like other addictions plaguing our communities. The threat is unregulated gambling on illegal slot machines, camouflaged as skill games. They're popping up everywhere, at gas pumps, pizza parlors, and your local convenience store. State police describe these places as breeding grounds for loan sharking and money laundering. If you object to your community becoming a mini Las Vegas, make your voice heard. Call 1-888-472-4418. Report those places that are enticing our kids into gambling disguised as entertainment. It's an activity that siphons money away from the Pennsylvania Lottery, whose proceeds go to supporting seniors in our state. Please phone now. This is serious. That number again is 1-888-472-4418.
Paid for by Pennsylvanians Against Illegal Gambling. Executive Board Member Peter Shelley.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions are posted at textrules.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated marketing text messages, message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Tom from Kane 11, and I have one question for you. What size socks are you wearing right now? If you're like everyone else I've asked, you simply don't know. How could you? That's because until now, socks were made in one size fits all or just a couple of sizes to fit every size foot. But not at Kane 11. We make our socks in 11 individual sizes from 7 to 17. That's right, 7 to 17. Great looks and colors to fit everyone's lifestyle. From cotton to wool or anything in between, Kane 11's got the perfect sock for you. Better yarns, better quality, just a better sock. If you don't love them just like we do, send them back for a full refund. That's the Kane 11 promise. Once you wear a pair of Kane 11's, I guarantee you'll never go back to wearing socks in multi-size ranges again.
Save 20% off your first order when you text SOCKS to 246810. That's text SOCKS to 246810. Text SOCKS to 246810.
I'm Andy Solomon. Rideshare platforms have evolved to provide riders with even better experiences. Sheriff John Wetzel, chairman of the National Sheriff's Association Traffic Safety Committee and former president of the International Association of Chiefs of Police, explains.
Companies like Lyft are making rider safety a priority by continuously screening their drivers. Before getting into any car, riders should match the license plate, car model, and driver's name with what's shown in the app. During your ride, you can share your location and route with your family and friends.
According to Wetzel, communities where Lyft is available have also seen lower rates of impaired driving and fatal crashes.
For example, Miami-Dade police announced that there was a 65% decline in impaired driving arrests in 2017 compared to the four prior years, thanks in part to ride sharing. Nationally, 71% of Lyft riders say they are less likely to drive while impaired because of the availability of ride sharing services.
For more information, visit Lyft.com.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
This is the John Steigerwald Show on AM 1250 and FM 92.5. The Answer.
Oh, I think you know who Robert Turley is. He is, or Jonathan Turley, I'm sorry. He's the Shapiro Professor of Public Interest Law for George Washington University, and he was the lead counsel during the Senate impeachment trial. He testified as a witness expert in the House Judiciary Committee. You know, you've seen him on cable a million times, on Fox and other places. Headline of his piece in The Hill today, Nancy Pelosi should resign. He says, while many will celebrate her trolling of the president, she tore up something far more important than a speech. Pelosi has shredded decades of tradition, decorum, and civility that the nation could use now more than ever. He said, this is a guy who voted for Hillary Clinton, and he says he wasn't that thrilled with a lot of things in the speech, with some of the things that Trump claimed that he didn't agree with. And he also said the awarding of conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh with the Presidential Medal of Freedom inside the House gallery was like a Mardi Gras bead toss. However, if Trump made the State of the Union look like Oprah, then Pelosi made it look like Jerry Springer. This is a Democrat, a liberal, saying all this stuff. And at the end, he says the act was more important to Pelosi than preserving the tradition of her office. In doing so, she forfeited the right to occupy that office. If Pelosi cannot maintain the dignity and neutrality of her office at the State of the Union, she should resign as the Speaker of House of Representatives. That's a biggie, and I don't know how many people agree with him, but I think a lot of Democrats and liberals were upset with her for doing that. Not just because they think it was a bad idea, but because they think it gives the Republicans a lot of ammunition. What it also does, it gives me a chance to play this song again. I really like this song by the Fabulous Thunderbirds. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm in the mood to tear it out. Can't tear it up enough.
The John Steigerwall Show is a production of AM 1250 The Answer and Salem Media Group.